Okay, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, starting the first chapter.
Valley Gray Papers.
Okay.
Hashanah.
So just a little bit of a introduction to Masechet Rosh Hashanah. So Masechet Rosh Hashanah, as its name indicates, is going to speak a little bit about Rosh Hashanah, but actually that's going to come towards the end of the Masechet. The first couple of chapters are going to deal with the concept of Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctifying the new month. And the process by which the Hachamim took witnesses to see the new moon and to sanctify the new month, how they calculated different things, what are the laws of the witnesses who come to testify on that behalf, how the process took place. So really the first chapter and a half, almost two chapters, are going to deal exclusively with that concept, which makes sense because it was an extra difficult situation when it came to Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah happens on the first of the month. So they had to sanctify the month, and with the sanctification of the month actually came the entrance of the holiday. And so from there we're going to talk a lot about how establishing the calendar, those themes are going to be here in the first couple of chapters. And in the last two chapters we're going to talk more about the day of Rosh Hashanah itself, i.e. the laws of Tikiat Shofar, the laws of the blowing of the Shofar, the main mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, and the special tefillot, most notably the tefillat Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, with all of its extra berachot, the Malkiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. So we should hit a lot of interesting concepts, many which we're familiar with, but I think we'll learn a lot of interesting ideas as we go through the four chapters of Masechet Rosh Hashanah. So we begin with an interesting topic, the four different Rosh Hashanahs that occur throughout the year. And we'll explain what that means. So we're in Mishnah Aleph, Mishnah number one of the first chapter. Arba'a Rashi Shanim Him. The Mishnah tells us there are four different new years, the four different Rosh Hashanahs throughout the year, marked by different dates for different practical ramifications. Ve'ehad b'Nisan, the first of them is the first month, first day of the month of Nisan. Rosh Hashanah le'melachim v'leregalim. It is the first, is the Rosh Hashanah, the new year, for melachim, for kings, and for regalim, and for holidays. Now what does that mean? Just to summarize it quickly. For kings means that if a king, we determine the years of a king around the month of Nisan. In other words, if a king took reign a day before Nisan, the last day of the month of Adar, he took reign, and then he came to the next day was Aleph Nisan, he's already in the second year of his reign. We can consider it as if he ruled for already a full year, even though he only ruled one day because it was Nisan. Nisan was the cutoff point. He's already in the second year of his kingship, right? Okay. This is for non-Jewish kings, we rule this way. Okay? I believe. Slicha, the opposite. This is for Jewish kings. Non-Jewish kings, we count from the Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Okay. We count from the first of Tishrei. What? So what's the difference? The answer is,
don't
is for
a certain amount of time that they could do it?
Nope. It's for contracts. When people wrote contracts, let's say somebody, you know, you were filling out a mortgage or a loan or something like that, you would have to write in the contract to the eighth year of the reign of this king, or seventh year of the reign of this king. So how did you know how to calculate the years of the reign of the king? You had to determine based on Aleph Nisan. Now why is that so important? Because if a person predates the contract, right? Let's say the loan took place on, December 10th, 2018. And you write the loan took place on December 10th, 2017. You dated it a year earlier. Why is that? Why would a person do that? Because,
he pays back the money.
Let's say he says, I'm going to pay it back.
He says, you owe me the money today.
Right, so why is that significant? Meaning, if he says that the loan already took place much earlier, why is that significant? Because when a person lends somebody money, at that moment, all of the borrower's possessions are on lien towards paying back that debt. Okay, so if I borrow $1,000 from you, at that moment, any property that I have is already designated on lien that if I can't pay you back, you're going to collect from that property. Now, let's say in the interim, I sell one of those properties. Right. Let's say $1,000, you give me a year to pay back. During the course of the year, I sell one of those properties. I try to fund my business now. You come back after the year. You say, okay, you owe me the $1,000. I say, I don't have anything to pay you. You say, okay, where's that property that was on lien? I sold it. You have permission to go to the person who purchased it and take it forcibly. You could forcibly take that piece of property because it was already on lien to you. I was allowed to sell it, but with the risk that you would that you could come so and take it. And I would have to have had told the person who bought it from me, look, you're taking a risk when you buy this property. This property is on lien. You could pay for it and try to, and hope that I have the money to pay back. But if I don't, the guy's going to come take it from you. So by predating the contract, right? So now if I'm the lender, it benefits me to predate the contract because then I go based on what you have a year ago instead of that. So that's why it's important to date contracts according to the appropriate date. If you date them pre, then the contract is considered null and void and doesn't hold water in a court of law. And so that's why Melachim is significant to know how to count the years of the reign of the king so that the contract is dated appropriately. That's Melachim. Any questions on that? Okay. The second thing we said was for regalim. Regalim is holidays. So there is a law in the Torah that teaches us that a person, if he makes a vow that he's going to give a particular animal as a sacrifice, he has a certain amount of time to give that animal as the sacrifice. If he doesn't give it within that allotted amount of time, he's in violation of delaying payment to the Beit HaMikdash. It's a prohibition in the Torah that's called bal te'aher. Do not delay payment of your vows. Now, how much time does he have to pay? So on this point, there's a lot of different arguments, but our Mishnah is going with the opinion that a person has three holidays in order. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Mm-hmm. He has to go through three holidays in order. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. And then he's in violation. If he doesn't pay up after the end of Sukkot, when it's the third holiday after Pesach and Shavuot, he's in violation of not paying back his vow.
Does he have to notify the Beit HaMikdash where he's bringing that korban? Does he have to tell them, I'm bringing it next week? Does he have to give him a warning?
No, he doesn't have to give him a warning. He makes a vow for himself, but he knows for himself that when he makes a vow, he now has a deadline with which he has to pay up that vow. And so we say that it's that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for the regalim, for the holidays. In other words, starting with the holiday in the month of Nisan, Pesach, that's the first one. If you go Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot in that order, at the end of it, you're in violation of delaying your vow. So theoretically, just to play a fun game, a person can get a maximum of five holidays if he makes his vow right after Pesach is over. Let's say Pesach ended. The day after Pesach ended, he makes his vow, I'm going to bring a Qurban. So now he has the following two holidays, Shavuot and Sukkot. And then he has to go through them in order. He has another three. Yeah. He has another Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Because it has to pass through the three holidays in that order, according to that opinion.
Do it.
Right. So if he makes the vow the day after Pesach, he technically has a year and a half to pay up. Right? Versus if he makes the vow, let's say the day before Pesach, he only has 6 months. Because he's got Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. That's it. By the end of Sukkot, he's done. He only has 6 months. So you could have a maximum of a year and a half, a minimum of about 6 months to be able to pay. According to this opinion.
Any other laws, any other vows, any other...
All vows.
All vows.
All vows. Paying to the Beit HaMikdash, really, I believe it is.
So if I say I'm not going to eat X, Y, Z, you know.
No, that's a vow that happens all the time. No. Right? When we say vows, we're talking about vows that a person is going to give a Qurban to the Beit HaMikdash.
Only a Qurban.
Yeah. That's why it's a bit dependent on the holidays, because it's the holidays that a person...
Them.
Exactly. Exactly. By the way, our halakha does not follow this Mishnah, that it happens three in order. We go, there'll be Meir, one holiday you have, and that's it. You got to bring it on the next holiday, otherwise you're in violation of delaying payment. Okay, so that's the significance of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's Rosh Hashanah for the years of the kings and for the holidays in order, in violating delaying payment of a Qurban. The second Rosh Hashanah, Be'ehad Be'elul, is the first day of the month of Elul. Rosh Hashanah Lema'aser Behema. It is the new year, the cutoff point for tithing your animals. The Torah gives us a mitzvah that any animals born within a calendar year, you have to take one out of every 10 of them and provide them as a sacrifice to the Beit HaMikdash, and that goes to the Kohen. That's called Ma'aser Behema, one-tenth of the animals. So now how do I determine the year's inventory of birthed animals? I go from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Rosh Chodesh Elul. That's my cutoff. Any animals born within that calendar year belong to that year. Any animals born after Ehad Be'elul belong to the following year. That's according to Rabbi El-Azhar. That's according to Tanakhama. That's according to the first opinion. The first day of Elul is that. Rabbi El-Azhar and Rabbi Shimon disagreed. They said the new year for the animal tithing is Be'ehad Be'tishrei. They said it's also the first day of the month of Tishrei. And we're going to see more about the first of Tishrei. So far we've seen two potential New Years, the first of Nisan and the first of Elul for Ma'aser Behemah. One of the two of the rabbis disagreed on the first of Elul. They held that the Ma'aser Behemah is the first of Tishrei.
Yeah, why would Elul be? It's prior to the New Year.
Right, so why would Elul be? So the Gemara discusses it as when is the common time for the animals to mate and give birth? So there's a bit of a disagreement as to when the animals normally mate and when they go ahead and give birth. And so then they depend on when the cutoff is going to be. Everybody says that they mate during the month of Nisan. They mate in the month of Nisan. They have a 5-month gestation period till Av. So the majority of them are born in Av. What's the month right after Av?
Elul.
So that's why the Tanakh Abba says, okay, majority of the animals are born in Av. We're going to make the cutoff, Elul. The Bishimon and Bilazad, based on other Pesukim, learned, no, you get an extra month for Av for even the delays, and you're going to go to the month of Tishrei as the cutoff. Yeah?
When it says Be'achad Tishrei, that's the Chachamim. It's a whole
that's
other
the Now the next part is going to give you more things about Echad B'Tishrei. Right? So we had an argument about Ma'aser Behemah, the tithing of the animal. Is it the first of Elul or is it the first of Tishrei?
Okay.
Now the Mishnah continues, Be'ehad B'Tishrei, a couple of ramifications that everybody agrees to when it comes to the first of Tishrei, which is also our Rosh Hashanah, what we call Rosh Hashanah, is Rosh Hashanah Lashanim. It's the Rosh Hashanah for years.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean for years? For counting the years of a non-Jewish king's reign. So we had Melachim in the first part of the Mishnah, that was the Jewish king. Lashanim over here is talking about the non-Jewish kings. Or others say, talking about Bri'at HaOlam, the years of creation, counted from Rosh Hashanah of Aleph Tishrei. Velashemitin, Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei is the cycle for the Shemitah, the 7 years. Velayovlot, and for the Yovel, the 7 sevens, all determined from Aleph Tishrei. Lanetiah, for the years of a tree. If a tree is planted, its years, how old the tree is, depends on Aleph Tishrei. Now, why is it important to know how old the tree is?
You give a percentage of that also, no?
Huh?
Don't you give a percentage?
So there is something, there is the concept of ma'aser, right? So there is the concept of ma'aser. That's going to be the next one, la yirakot, la netia ve la yirakot, right? Yirakot is the ma'aser of the vegetables. But ma'aser over here. So netia, the years of a tree are important because there's a mitzvah in the Torah called orla.
Yeah.
Orla means that the first 3 years that a tree is alive, you cannot benefit at all from its fruits. The fourth year the tree is around, is you're allowed to benefit only by taking it to Yerushalayim and eating it. And then in the fifth year, you can eat from it freely.
And these are only trees grown, and it could be anywhere?
Anywhere.
And when so you're telling me if I have an apple tree, the apples start flowing. What do I do with the apples?
You burn them.
Really?
Get rid of them. Can't benefit from them at all. Right?
Poor guy could eat? Really?
No, zero. So it's called Orla. Now, most trees don't produce fruit so much in the first 3 years, but I don't know. So the determination of how old the tree is for the years of Orla are going to depend on how many Tishreis it went through. So if a tree was planted, the Gemara says 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, 30 days before Aleph Tishrei, by the time it reaches Aleph Tishrei, it's already 2 years old. And so that speeds up the process by which a person is allowed to benefit from its fruits. Velayirakot is for vegetables, is determining the ma'aser, the tithing of vegetables, determines also by Aleph Tishrei what belongs to this year's produce versus what belongs to other year's produce. The easiest way to remember this is like what you do inventory, right? January 1st, everyone's taking inventory right now these days because you want to determine what's part of my 2018 inventory, what's going to be part of my 2019 inventory. So you also want to know that over here as well because you can't take ma'aser from fruits that were born that are 2019 fruits from 2018 fruits, right? You have to have a clear demarcation of what belongs to the previous year, what belongs to the following year. So far we've seen three Rosh Hashanahs, Aleph Nisan, Aleph Elul, potentially, and Aleph Tishrei. The final one is Aleph Shevat or Tu Bishvat. Be'echad Bishvat, on the first day of the month of Shevat, Rosh Hashanah La'ilan. That is the new year for the fruits of the tree. In other words, even though a tree's age itself is determined by the years of Aleph Tishrei, from Aleph Tishrei, the fruits, in terms of ma'aser, as well as being able to eat from the fruits, you also have to factor in Shevat, Aleph Shevat. So even though a tree might be 3 years old, by the time it reaches Aleph Tishrei, you still can't, the fruits are not 3 years old until it's Tu Bishvat. So you also have to factor in, you have to
not
kind of...
Bishvat, the,
well, says, according to... Says, right, Kedivrei Bet Shammai is Aleph Shevat, is the first of Shevat. Bet Hillel Omrim B'Hamisha Asar Bo is the 15th of Shevat.
This is a whole different opinion from the...
No.
Then what?
From the prior
no.
with the... No.
One
no.
is tree, one right. is the fruit one, on the tree.
Right, one is talking about the tree itself, how old itself. It is. The okay. other one is talking about the fruits of the tree. So even though the tree itself might now be 4 years old because it passed four Aleph Tishreis, the fruits are still going to be 3 years old until Tu Bishvat. So you still can't use them. So you still have a delay from Tishrei until Shevat until the fruits turn 4 years old.
The fruit age. Like in other words, you're not using the...
How many Tu Bishvat did it pass?
Right, I hear you. No, but I'm saying, you're saying you can't use the first 3 years of a tree, you can't use its fruits.
Right.
So it really, it matters on the tree for that.
Right, but then you also have to factor in, it's a double thing, so you have to do the 3 years of the tree.
It's 3 years of the fruit or 3 years of the tree?
It's 3 years of the fruit, but the fruit and the tree go hand in hand, right?
If the fruit starts growing and the apples start growing in the third year, you really can't have till the sixth?
No. We need the tree. We need the tree to be. The years of Orla depend on the tree.
The tree. Okay,
now,
okay.
Once the tree turns, yeah, let's say 3 years old, okay. The fruits are okay. But you really the fruits are okay only after Tu Bishvat. The rabbis added on. There's another little thing.
Potentially, it could be 4 years.
No. It'll still be shorter. It'll still be three. It'll be three and change. Exactly. The months are closer. Tishrei to Shevat is about 4 months. Right, so that's what they're saying over here, is that even though the years of the tree are determined from Aleph Tishrei, to be able to eat the fruits, you have to wait till Tu Bishvat.
Of that third year.
Exactly.
So Tishrei, Tu Bishvat is another 6 months or so, no?
Tishrei, Heshvan, Kislev, Tevet, Shvat, about 5 months.
5 months.
Actually,
so
potentially
another
half
weigh
year.
Three and change,
right.
Three and a half
right.
years almost.
Which is still fat. Now, you'll say, so what do I benefit from the fact that Aleph Tishrei is the cutoff? You still benefit because if a person planted a tree 30 days before Aleph Tishrei, now by the time it gets to the first Tishrei, it's already 2 years old. So even though you're saying, well, I have to wait till Tu Bishvat anyway, I still saved myself 6 months. Because right. if I was counting from the time the tree was planted, correct. It would be much later than that. The fruits would be okay.
The
but
benefit of these counting these years is that even if it's only 2 months, it's considered a year.
Exactly.
All these months. Everything we've said.
Everything is is dependent on that cutoff. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
As if I plant that tree a day before...
30, it would have to be at least... The rule the Gemara tells us is 30 days because a tree takes root only after 30 days. So the minimum is 30 days.
30 days before...
30 days before Rosh Hashanah.
What's that month?
Before Rosh Hashanah. Aleph Tishrei.
Oh, before Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, Aleph Tishrei. Okay? So we have four significant dates in this Mishnah. Aleph Nisan, Aleph Tishrei, Aleph Elul, and Aleph Shevat, or potentially Tu Bishvat. Right, those are the four new years. What we hold Tu Bishvat. That's why this is what the concept of Tu Bishvat has become an important idea for.
Right,
right, is the concept of being able to eat the fruits of Orla in the fourth year, and also for Maaser of the fruits of the tree. Maaser for the fruits of the tree also determined by Tu Bishvat to be able to eat that. Good
for the Kohen.
No, for anybody. For to be able to know what produce of fruit belongs to this year that needs to be ma'aser, and which produce belongs to this year to take ma'aser. Because you can't take ma'aser from 1 year onto the other.
So when is that?
That's also Tu Bishvat. For fruits, it's Tu Bishvat. Yes. For vegetables, it's Aleph Tishrei. So different things depend on their seasons and when they grow and how the cutoff sort of works. Yeah. This Mishnah, the Gemara has. So far, this is what we're doing in the Gemara class beforehand. It's about 20 pages on this Mishnah, going through all of the different things. It's very, very lengthy and a lot of it. Yeah. I thought this Mishnah is very loaded, but we did the basics idea, which is excellent.
Yeah,
now when Tu Bishvat rolls around, Tu Bishvat rolls around, everyone's like, everyone's just happy. You understand the significance of why this day on the calendar was important. It's for us today, it's less because we don't deal with Orla and we don't really deal with Maaser. Right. But in those times, it was a very significant day. It was like tax day. It was like April 15th for them.
Right.
You know, it's a big day. It's a big cutoff.
Is there any? What's the behind the fruits and waiting and giving?
Because it depends on the rainy season. How much rain? By the time Tu Bishvat comes, the majority of the rain that
but
the fruits
the
will experience.
Why can't you eat from that the first time the apple comes? Why can't you just pluck it and eat it?
Why did the Torah tell you to? Why is the
Orla? Is there a real
Orla is a tough one? again, it seems like everything the Torah wants you to like take a step back. They don't want you to indulge with it the first second that you get it. But for the most part, Orla is like a Hulk. The word Orla comes from like a Brit Milah. The foreskin of a person is called an Arel, right? It's covered. It's another, you can't be able to use it. Similar kinds of ideas. A lot of linkage between those two things. All right, this first Mishnah was loaded. We're going to stop here with the first Mishnah. Mm-hmm. The next Mishnah is going to talk a little bit about things that you judged on, and then we're going to get into the process of sanctifying the new month. So some interesting stuff coming up in these next few Mishnayot.